Welcome to episode 14 of the Fredcast for the week of April 17th, 2006. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In this week's episode of the Fredcast, finally good news for cyclist Saul Raisin. I have results from the Amstel Gold, the Flesh Wallona, and the Tour of Georgia. Information on George Hincapie's injury as well as Jan Ullrich's knees. Return of the Walmart case. The case against Lance Armstrong in Italy. USA Today's Athlete of the Week is another cyclist. Police pedaling across the United States to honor some fallen comrades. And today, April the 19th, is Bicycle Day. Following the news, information on a follow-up on using bicycling as therapy. Information on the new Fredcast website and the new Fredcast forums. Follow-up to last week's story about a device to help you change traffic lights. A ride I'd like to tell you about, and a couple of shout-outs. Following that, as always, our PodSafe cycling music. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding, hammer just a little bit harder. Because here comes the Fredcast. And before we begin, just a quick note. For all of you out there that are thinking about maybe getting into podcasting, let me give you a piece of advice. Podcasting and business travel are not compatible. This has not been a good week for podcasting. I tried to get this out to you on time this week, but the portable microphone decided that it didn't want to cooperate. So apologies again for the timing of the podcast, and I will try to work a little bit harder on figuring out a better way to podcast when I'm out on the road. But now, of course, it is time for the news, and tonight I'm actually glad to be able to bring you some good news and a story that I brought you last week. As you remember, last week we talked about cyclist Saul Raisin and the fact that he had had a crash that put him into a coma. And the really good news is that despite the crash at the Circuit de la Sarthe race, Saul is now out of the coma. He's able to move his head, his arms, his legs, and he, by now, hopefully is out of the intensive care unit. According to Crédit Agricole team manager Roger Legay, quote, "It's a huge relief, even though we're still at a very early stage." As I told you last week, one of the places that I was able to get information on Saul and his condition was on his blog at saulraisin.com. That's SaulRaisin.com. And a couple of blog entries that were on his site. The first, Tuesday, April 11th, "Saul has had a good day responding to questions about events and people and things from his past by squeezing his parents' hands. He was also able to move all of his fingers and toes. Please keep him in your thoughts as there is still a long road ahead." And then Thursday, the 13th of April, "Saul's condition is continuing to improve. He was taken off the ventilator he was put on while he was in a coma and is answering questions by nodding his head. His doctors hope to move him out of intensive care in the next few days and fly him back to a hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, in the coming weeks." So this is all really good news. It's nice to hear that Saul is conscious again and that he's getting better and that he's soon going to be moved back to the United States. So again, we still wish Saul the best, but it is great to hear that he is finally out of the coma. And the racing season continues. I've got race results this week from several recent events that have occurred in the last couple of days. The first is from the Amstel Gold Race in the Netherlands. CSC rider Frank Schleck of Luxembourg won the 41st running of the Amstel Gold Race, and of course that counts toward the Pro Tour points. Schleck attacked 10 kilometers from the finish line in what was a 253-kilometer race, and he crossed the line alone out in front of fellow breakaway rider Stefan Vesemin of Switzerland. Third place went to Dutch rider and pre-race favorite Michael Bogaard. Apparently, it was a pretty emotional win for Schleck. It was the first pro win of his career. And Schleck's father, whose name was Johnny, was an integral part of the big team that was led by Luis Ocana in the 1960s. So, nice first pro win for Schleck at Amstel Gold. The next race, and you got to forgive me here for my pronunciation, but the next race was the Flesh Wallona, and this one was won by Spaniard Alejandro Valverde, and this was his first classic win, and it took place at the Flesh Wallona in Belgium. Now, Valverde broke away from a group of about 30 riders close to the summit of the final ascent in the race to pull off the win. He said, quote, "I started my challenge late, and it paid off." Now, if you don't know, Valverde was the runner-up in last year's World Road Race Championships in Madrid. He then went on to say, quote, "I suffered badly in the Amstel Gold Race last Sunday, but this race, being a bit shorter, was perfectly suited for me." And the win in the race pushes Valverde up to fourth in the Pro Tour standings. And after Amstel and the Flesch, the Pro Tour standings are in first place, Tom Bonin from Quickstep. Second place, Alessandro Bayan from Italy. Third, Samuel Sanchez from Spain. Fourth, as I mentioned, Alejandro Valverde from Spain. And fifth, Frank Schleck from Luxembourg, who won the Amstel Gold Race. So that's the current Pro Tour standings, and we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks, how those are going to change. Finally, in our race results tonight, the Tour of Georgia, which goes from April 18th through the 23rd. Now, it's a six-stage event with nearly 1,000 kilometers. And as you may know, that was Lance's final race appearance last year in the United States. Now, this year, Discovery is bringing strong racers like defending Tour of Georgia champion Tom Danielson, as well as Yaroslav Popovich. There are other pre-race favorites, and they included Floyd Landis of Quickstep and, of course, Dave Zabriskie of CSC. The race is featuring six Pro Tour teams and nine local teams. Stage one took place on Tuesday, and it was won by CSC's Lars Mikkelsen of Denmark in just under 5 hours. Second place went to Fred Rodriguez of Davidamon Lotto, with third place going to Australian Caleb Mannion of the domestic Jelly Belly cycling team. Now, stage one was a combination road race and circuit race, and this year they had very high speeds as compared to last year, and that was mainly due to a very favorable tailwind on the road race portion. Defending champion Tom Danielson of Discovery finished 11th, just seconds behind the leaders, so he's still in the race. Now, Wednesday's stage two was won by the aforementioned Popovich of Team Discovery, who finished ahead of Juan Jose Hayedo of Argentina, and he's on the Toyota United Cycling Team, and American Fred Rodriguez, again, of Davidamon Lotto, coming in third. Now, the stage two started at 1:30 in Fayetteville, Georgia, and there were 118 of the 119 riders. And when they left, the skies looked really threatening, and it turned out that they had thunderstorms for about 25 miles of the entire 116-mile course. Now, Thursday's stage three will be an individual time trial, and this one's beginning at 11 a.m. in Chickamauga, Georgia, and they'll go about 25 miles into Chattanooga, Tennessee. For those of you that are in the southeast of the United States, this is another great opportunity to go out and see these Pro Tour riders and to see the racing going on in the United States, just like we talked about a few weeks ago in the Tour of California. This is always a very popular event in the United States among cyclists, and if you're anywhere nearby, I recommend you go. And if you do, if you'll remember a few weeks ago when we had our reporter from the Tour of California and we were able to bring you some audio from Race Radio, I was able to find the frequency for Race Radio, so if you've got a radio scanner and you want to tune in and you're out there anywhere near the course, it's 450.8875 megahertz. And that's really great because that's where, even if you're standing on the course and you're waiting for the racers to go by, or the racers have already gone by and you want to know what's going on in the race and you can't see it, you tune in and you can listen into the race, because that's where all the team managers and the race staff and everybody in the chase vehicles listen in to find out what's going on in the peloton. So again, frequency is 450.8875. If you're in the southeast of the United States and you're able to go out there and watch the race, enjoy it. You're going to have a great time. And if you want to give us a report either here on the Fredcast or in the Fredcast forums, we sure would appreciate it. Well, Reuters is reporting good news for fans of George Hincapie. George Hincapie is not going to need surgery after all on the separated shoulder he sustained in a crash during Paris-Roubaix. Hincapie was found to have a third-degree separation of his right shoulder, as well as a severely bruised wrist after he was examined by doctors on Tuesday in Greenville, South Carolina. It turns out his shoulder is just going to be taped and placed in a sling until he can resume riding. In a statement, George said, quote, "I was happy to hear that I will not need surgery. I'll be off the bike for about a week, but look forward to resuming my training." This is really good news because it does look like indeed that George is going to be able to participate in the Dauphiné Libéré, which begins on June 4th. As you remember, last week we talked about George's injury and it sounded like he was going to need surgery and he was going to be out for quite a while. So good news for George, good news for his teammates, and hopefully we'll see George back on the bike again real soon. We've talked recently about Jan Ulrich and the fact that he has been off the bike because he's had some knee problems. And I actually speculated as to whether there was more going on here or whether the knee injury was a little bit more severe than his team was letting on. Well, it turns out that Jan is finally back on his bike, and he's currently in training for the 6-day tour of Romandie in Switzerland, which is from the 25th through the 30th of this month. According to team manager Olaf Ludwig, quote, Jan is pain-free and will intensify his training load in the coming days to be ready for the tour of Romandie. So that sounds like good news for Jan. But then I found another article where the team leader of CSC, Bjarne Riis, basically is saying that he thinks that there's more going on here, as I've said. And what he's saying is, quote, it's clear that he doesn't like riding his bike. And for that reason, I don't understand why he wants to be a cyclist. It's a waste of his talent. He needs to wise up right away. My belief in him is dwindling. Now, Riis is a former team member of Jan's, and he's basing his comments about Jan and his form on the fact that Ivan Basso and Jan Ulrich crossed paths recently at a training camp. And Riis feels that Jan's form is nowhere near where it should be. It's not bad, but that Basso is way, way ahead of Jan in training and in form, and that Basso is looking much, much stronger than Jan. And Riis doesn't believe that Jan's going to be able to come back, and that instead Basso is going to be the favorite for the Giro and perhaps also for the Tour. So, like I said, there may be more going on here than meets the eye, and maybe more than Jan's team is letting on. Only time will tell, and we're going to find out in just about a week or so as he gets ready for that race in Switzerland. So we'll see what happens. Well, industry magazine Bicycle Retailer is reporting that the families of the plaintiffs who sued Walmart and the bicycle manufacturer a few months ago in the quick release case are returning to court to try to get a new trial in the case. Now, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, the 57-page motion that they filed includes numerous alleged acts of favoritism by the judge, such as excluding evidence of Dynacraft's prior federal safety violations and also for scolding the plaintiff's lawyer in front of the jury. The full suspension bikes that were involved in the case were imported by Dynacraft and sold under the Next brand name at Walmart stores. And in February, the jury rejected claims that they knowingly sold bikes with a defective quick-release lever that caused the front wheel of the bikes to fall off. And of course, the jurors awarded no damages to the families of the children that were injured. So it looks like we're going to be going back to court with Walmart. I'll keep my eye on this case and I'll let you know what happens. Well, there's only one Lance Armstrong story this week, but it is a good one. It's something that we've been following here on the Fredcast for quite some time. Lance Armstrong's defamation trial ended Thursday in Italy after charges were withdrawn by Italian cyclist Filippo Simeoni. At the same time, Armstrong withdrew his defamation case against Simeoni, according to Armstrong's lawyer Enrico Nann. He said, quote, the case is over after both actions have been withdrawn. So it sounds like there must have been some sort of an agreement in this case between the two of them to finally let this case go and drop it. Now, if you don't remember, Simeoni brought the defamation charges against Armstrong following an April 2003 report in the newspaper in France, Le Monde. Now, in the article, Lance contended that Simeoni had agreed to testify against Dr. Michele Ferrari in exchange for a lesser penalty if Simeoni was ever accused of doping by the sports governing body. So, as I've mentioned before, I've always felt that this was a lot of sour grapes on the part of Simeoni. They had some very strong words in a stage in the Tour de France a few years ago, and it's good to see that this is finally over and that both riders can go about their lives and not have to worry about this case in Italy any longer. Now, there is other racing in the world of cycling going on, and the one most significant thing that was going on last week was the Track Worlds. Now, I'm not really up on track cycling, so I haven't really covered it much here on the Fredcast, But what makes it interesting, and the reason I'm covering it today, isn't so much because I've learned a lot about track racing, because I haven't, but because I wanted to point out something about American newspapers and give kudos to one American newspaper in particular. I live in Los Angeles, and every morning I read the Los Angeles Times and I read the Wall Street Journal. And the only mention of cycling in those two newspapers is usually only associated with a guy named Lance Armstrong. Now, Lance isn't cycling anymore. So I've looked around, and as I travel, you know, I travel a lot. I look in a lot of local newspapers, and you just don't see cycling covered. Yeah, they talked about the Tour of California because it was new, and it was extremely popular, and it was the first major American race since after Lance left the world of cycling, and so it was of interest to American newspapers. And they may be giving a little bit of coverage to the Tour of Georgia this year. But other than that, American newspapers pretty much ignore cycling, except one. You remember a few weeks ago we talked about USA Today bestowing their Athlete of the Week award onto a cyclist, and they did it again this week. This week, American cyclist Sarah Hammer is USA Today's Athlete of the Week, and Sarah is their Athlete of the Week because she won the individual pursuit for the women at the Track Worlds. And the last time, a U.S. cyclist won anything at the Track Worlds was back in 96 when Marty Northstein won in the Keirin. And the last time an American woman won something at the Track Worlds was Rebecca Twigg way back in 95. So it's a big deal that American cyclist is actually back as a champion on the track. And I really want to give kudos to USA Today for keeping track of cycling and even for even noticing that an American won in something as obscure, if you'll excuse me, track racers out there, as track racing. So congratulations to Sarah Hammer for her efforts. Congratulations to USA Today for noticing cycling. Now, the USA Today also reports that the USA did come close to more medals. Becky Quinn placed fourth in the scratch race. Jenny Reed placed fourth in the Keirin and seventh in the sprint. And Sarah Hammer also placed ninth in the points race. So there are your track racing results. And again, kudos to USA Today for keeping their eye on cycling when most major American newspapers have no idea that professional cycling even exists. Well, a few days ago, a group of cyclists took off from Los Angeles heading across country, and we talk about things like this all the time, but this one is another memorial ride. This one's called the Police Unity Tour. It goes from Los Angeles, and it's going all the way to Ground Zero in Manhattan in 3 weeks, and after that, they're going to be going to Washington, D.C., and this one is called the Police Unity Tour. It is to honor those officers who have died in the line of duty, and when they go across the United States, they'll head to Ground Zero in Manhattan, obviously an important site for honoring those who died in the service of their community. And then when they go on to Washington, D.C., they're going to be joining the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington during Police Week. The group is hoping to raise money and awareness for the National Memorial there in Washington, D.C., and I've put some links in the show notes to a couple of websites that you can go to support the Police Unity Tour, as well as to a blog that the cyclists are posting to about their daily experiences out there on the road. So go ahead and take a look. And as somebody who has at least a passing relationship to law enforcement, wish those guys a lot of luck and thank them for what they're doing for those out there who have died protecting all of us civilians out in the community. And before I get to my final news story of the day, I just wanted to mention to those of you who are parents out there, if you've got kids, this next story does involve some discussion of illegal drugs. So if that's something that you're sensitive to and you don't want your children to hear about it, now is the time to fast forward a little bit in the podcast. Okay, so I have a question for you. Did anybody wish you a happy bicycle day today, April 19th? Because if they did, I think it was sort of tongue-in-cheek, and let me tell you why. When I first saw this in the news and I found out that it was Bicycle Day, I was a little bit confused. As far as I know, all the major bicycle events that take place are usually in May, which is, at least in the United States, National Bike Month. So why is it that April 19th is Bicycle Day? And here comes the connection to drugs. April 19th is Bicycle Day because it commemorates the day when Dr. Albert Hofmann first took LSD intentionally, and that was April 19th, 1943. Now, Hofmann was doing experiments with LSD in his lab, and 3 days earlier he had absorbed a small amount in his fingertips, or perhaps by accidentally ingesting it. But on April 19th, 43, he intentionally took 250 micrograms of LSD, and then, because he started to feel kind of weird, as you can imagine, he felt like maybe he had made himself ill. He didn't want to drive home, so instead he got on his bicycle and rode home from the lab. And of course, during his bicycle ride, he experienced the effects of the LSD, therefore making this the first day of the first ever acid trip. So kind of a weird thing for April 19th. I had no idea about that. I've heard about April 20th before and what that means in that community, but I'd never quite heard bicycling and LSD put together that way, because your typical drug user is not usually a cyclist. So anyway, thought I'd bring that to your attention. And that's going to do it for the news for tonight.
This is Kristen.
And I'm Erin from the Manic Mommies podcast.
And you're listening to the Fredcast.
Kristen, what's the Fredcast?
It's only my husband's favorite podcast.
And who is Fred?
Well, actually, since the host's name is David, I don't know.
Thanks to Kristen and Erin for that little bumper music there. I appreciate it very much. That's from the Manic Mommies podcast at manicmommies.com. And Kristen's husband, Steve, is one of our faithful listeners, and she sent me an email and asked if they could send me that bumper, and I really appreciate them doing that. So check out the Manic Mommies podcast at manicmommies.com. Okay, and last week I mentioned to you that I wanted to hear your stories about using cycling as therapy, and I got some really great responses, and I wanted to read two to you. The first is from listener Chris, and he's from Tennessee, and Chris is a deputy sheriff in the southeastern portion of the United States, and last November, Chris was serving a warrant, and apparently the guy who he was serving it on really didn't want to go to jail. So as he was about to put the guy in handcuffs, the guy pulls a .357 Magnum and fired. Now, the bullet struck Chris on his right side, nicking the bottom of his bulletproof vest, and then it exited out his chest below his left nipple. After the guy fired, the guy ran back into the house, and Chris was, as Chris puts it, "He dropped me right there." The bullet hit his liver, ripped his diaphragm, went in and out of his right lung, knocked a chunk off of his right ventricle, then went in and out the top of his left lung, and then it finally stopped when it hit the inside of his bulletproof vest below his left nipple. Now, most people in a situation like that simply would not survive. Chris, on the other hand, was already an avid cyclist. Now, because he was in good shape, he was actually able to stand up and run out of the house, radio for help, and then an ambulance was able to come. But before the ambulance came, he had collapsed about two houses down when both of his lungs completely collapsed. About 30 minutes later, he was in a trauma hospital, and he went into surgery. He was on a ventilator for 4 days, up and walking in 5 days. He was in the ICU for 9 days, home in 17 days, and he was back on his trainer in 40 days, and back out on the road on his bike in 46 days. His doctors told him that one of the main things that saved his life was the shape that he was in. He was already riding over 50 miles a day up until the day when he was shot. The doctors were absolutely amazed at his recovery. They never put any physical restrictions on him. He says not that that would have done any good. And they didn't even give him physical therapy because they knew that he was going to get back on his bike as soon as he could. Now, the doctor said that his liver would grow back in about a year. It only took 3 months and 1 week. At 2 months, his cardiologist and his pulmonary specialist were shocked by his recovery, and they couldn't find anything wrong with him. And now, he says he can't really tell that anything happened to him except when he looks in a mirror. He says that actually the shooting had changed his body type and his riding style. His weight's changed, and he's even a better climber than he was before. He says, now I'm back to work, and he rides as often as he can. And he says he guesses his therapy started back in 1989 when he first got on his bike. He says it gave him the strength and the stamina to live through the experience and the desire to live on. Plus, he says, it's great when he drops everyone on the long climbs. So there's one way that cycling has been therapy for one of our listeners. Another way came from another listener named Chris. And I'm going to read you Chris's email pretty much almost verbatim. He says, as a faithful listener to your very fine Fredcast, imagine my surprise and pleasure and a little embarrassment at hearing you discuss my short letter in the Sun magazine about cycling and survival. Cycling has, no question, saved my life. Nothing chases the blues away like a fast 60-miler with the clubbies, and the high from racing and doing well lasts for days. Here's a follow-up to that little Sun letter. I've been active in the local chapter of the National Alliance of the Mentally Ill for a few years and have persuaded many of the local members to join me on bicycle rides. The rides are slow, flat, and chatty. There are lots of clunker bikes and no Lycra, and everyone, every time, feels better after the rides. A few members have taken up cycling regularly, and some have started cycling to work. Here's the best part. The local NAMI group's annual fundraiser used to be a turkey and gravy dinner at a smoky VFW hall. Now, it's a bike tour, 40 miles, and we're joined on the ride by scores of family and community members. Cycling is good medicine. So, Chris, both Chris's, thank you so much for sending me your letters. And the second Chris, thank you so much for writing the original letter in the Sun magazine and giving us the inspiration to know that cycling is indeed therapy. And thank goodness that you were able to find cycling and that it has been the great therapy that it has been for you. And for the rest of us out there, I don't think we've contemplated, hopefully we haven't contemplated suicide, and God willing, we haven't been shot. But we all know how good cycling is for us and how good it can make us feel and what an important influence it can be in our lives. So spread the word about cycling to all of your family and friends and let them know about these two amazing inspirational stories and let them know how good cycling can be for them. Because if they're not cyclists, imagine the benefits that they can get from it. As I always say, I really think that were it not for cycling, I might be one of those guys out there playing golf. And so thank God for cycling. A few days ago, I mentioned to you in a very, very brief Fredcast, probably the briefest there ever will be, I mentioned to you that I had made some changes to the Fredcast website. And I wanted to just give you a short tour of what those are and let you know what's going on the Fredcast website and hope that you'll go out and check it out. First of all, I've completely redesigned the main pages of the website, gave it a much cleaner look, and also put a new logo up there. So hopefully you like that a lot. I really hope you like the logo because in the weeks ahead, I'm going to be offering t-shirts and mugs and all sorts of Fredcast paraphernalia that you can buy. So watch for that coming up on the Fredcast website. So hopefully you like that logo and you'll want to go out there and buy some of that to support the Fredcast and what I'm doing here. Now, another thing that's on there, I put a page. I was given a suggestion by one of our listeners that I have a page just of links to the show notes. So I've done that. If you go to the top of the Fredcast website, there's a tab up there that says show notes. And if you click it, that'll take you to another page where there's a link for every show notes link for every show that I've done so far. And I'll be adding every time I do another show. Another link that's up there at the top of the page is one for an about page, and it's just a little bit more information about me, about the Fredcast, because I get a lot of questions in the email about that. And down at the bottom, there is one that I think that Aaron and Kristen would be interested in, and that is, why is it called the Fredcast if my name is David? So I always get a lot of emails that say, Dear Fred, and I understand that. Anyway, so go ahead and check that out on the website, and hopefully you'll find that interesting as well. Another thing that I've done on the website, and this was a big deal and something I've been promising you almost since day one, is I put up the Fredcast forums. So if you go to the top of the Fredcast page at thefredcast.com and you click on the link for the forums, it'll take you to the Fredcast forums, and I've put in all of the categories and all of the items that you had asked for. So please go out there, sign up for the forums, and start participating in the discussion there. The more of you that do that, the more discussion there will be, and the more useful the Fredcast forums are going to become. Now, for those of you who have emailed me, you've seen that sometimes I get a little bit behind on my email. Work and family do come first, as much as this is sort of a labor of love for me. Sometimes I just don't have time to get to your emails as quickly as I'd like. So for those of you that are looking for a quick answer to a question, I recommend that you go to the Fredcast forum and that you post your message there. You can also email me as well, but hopefully the Fredcast listeners will be able to respond to you a little bit quicker than I have in the past, and that will be useful for you. So another quick way to get to the forums is simply by going to forums.thefredcast.com. So hopefully you enjoy the new site, you like the way it looks, and it's meeting all of your needs. If you've got some suggestions, please let me know. And I will certainly try to implement those into the website in the future. So go to www.thefredcast.com and enjoy. Last week, I brought you a story that I found on crank.com about some instructions that you could use to put a special magnet in your shoes that might enable you to activate the sensors that are in the ground that tell the traffic signals to change to green as if there was a car there. And I got some emails from several of you, as well as a message that I noticed on the Fredcast forums about an article that appeared on foxnews.com, and I've put a link in the show notes to the article, about a guy who was using a device to get the traffic signals to change and about how he had gotten a citation for doing it. And the question was whether or not the instructions that I shared with you last week might also earn you a citation for doing something illegal. And let me explain a little bit about what the guy did who got the citation and why I think it's very different than what we talked about last week. Now, the guy who got the citation was using a device that's very similar to the ones that are mounted on the roofs of police cars, fire engines, and ambulances. And the way that these work is it's got a special strobe in it that activates a sensor on the signal light that says, hey, there's an emergency vehicle coming. That emergency vehicle needs a green light, so you really need to switch to a green right away. And it completely changes the timing of the lights, switches to a green. It makes it a lot safer for the emergency workers to get through, and it stops the traffic in the opposite direction. Now, this guy was using a device like that, and that is absolutely illegal. You cannot do that to get a traffic light to change. But that's very different than the device that we talked about last week. The device we talked about last week is no different than having a car drive over one of these loops in the pavement. It doesn't change the timing of the light. It doesn't get the green to come on as quickly as it does these strobe devices do for the emergency vehicles. All it does is, hey, there's a car here, and when it's appropriate to do so, please change the light so that this car can get through. That's all that it does. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I haven't studied the legalities of it, but it's my opinion that this device that we talked about last week is very, very different than the one that's mentioned in the Fox News article. Nevertheless, again, not being a lawyer, if you're considering following those instructions, you do so at your own risk. I have no idea whether or not it's legal or not. I'm just giving you one Fred's opinion. And every week I like to bring you information on various rides that are going on around the country, around the world, and I've got one for you that is one of these ones that I think is really interesting and one that I think that you might enjoy. You've probably missed the registration for this year, but registration is going to be opening soon for next year, so I thought I'd tell you about it. And this one's called the Cape Epic, and it takes place in South Africa. It begins on April 22nd, which is this coming weekend. It's an 8-day ride, 900 kilometers, with 16,000 feet of climbing. Now, the Cape Epic is titled as the largest full-service mountain bike stage race in the world, and it is really a very cool event. It's presented by Adidas, and it is one that rides through the stunning Western Cape from, and excuse my pronunciation, folks, from Knysna to Spire. And it goes, the route changes every year. And the 2006 route is once again characterized by dusty and demanding gravel paths, strenuous ups and thrilling downs, magnificent river crossings, and stunning single track, as well as some of the best coastal views, really, in the world. This is a really amazing event. And if any of you are taking part in it, please let us know. Now, the 2007 dates have finally been announced. And that will be from the 24th through the 31st of March. And you can consider, if you'd like, registering. There is a public lottery, and you can find the details on the Cape Epic 2007 website. And I've put links in the show notes. So, sounds like a fun event. If any of you are taking part, please let us know. It would be really fun to hear how that event goes and maybe even get some pictures from it. So, that's the Cape Epic event for 2006. And if you go to the links in the show notes, you can get information on doing it next year in 2007. And that's going to do it tonight, with the exception of some notes and shout-outs. First, a couple of notes. As I mentioned before, podcasting and business travel don't always work together very well. They're not always very compatible. So I apologize for any audio issues with tonight's show. Be back home next week as the sirens blare in the distance. I don't know if you can hear that. And I'll have my regular rig with me. In the meantime, I'm going to try to find a better portable rig so that when I am out on the road, as does often occur, I can actually get you a podcast on time and sounding halfway decent. So sorry about that. Next, I wanted to just say thanks to Agence France-Presse. That's one of the world's largest news agencies, and some of the news tonight was courtesy of them, and I wanted to thank them for providing that to me. Finally, a couple of shout-outs. Wanted to thank listener Todd. Listener Todd is probably the first one who actually noticed that there is a link on the website for donating to the Fredcast. This so far is a labor of love. I do love doing it, but it would be nice if I could offset some of the costs of doing it. And one of the ways of doing that is through donations, and there is a link on the website. And so I wanted to thank Todd for doing that. That was really great. Appreciate it very, very much. Also wanted to say thank you to Steve from the UK. He sent me a nice email. Next, Michael from San Jose sent me the following email. It says, "Hey, my name is Michael from San Jose, and I just wanted to say hi and that I absolutely love your podcast. I wanted to mention a quick tip I learned at the tour of California when a guy had a flat. One of the people mentioned that you could use your quick releases as tire levers. I've tried this, and it does indeed work, with no damage to the rim as far as I know of. So that was just a quick tip. I wanted to mention it. Keep up the excellent work on the podcast." And Michael, you're absolutely right. I have heard that this can work. If you are out on the road and you don't have your tire levers in a pinch, you need to get that tire off the rim, you can use your quick releases. Now, be very, very careful when doing so. Everybody's quick releases are different. Everybody's rims are different. And you don't want to cause any damage. So if you're going to do this, please be very careful when doing it. And finally, shout out to Mark in Pennsylvania, and he gets a special shout out because he's a new cyclist and, of course, a new Fredcast listener, and he says his cycling experiences and listening to the Fredcast have got cycling in his blood already. So that's great. Congratulations, Mark. Welcome to being a Fred. Also wanted to thank those of you out there who have been spreading the word. It's great to watch those audience numbers go up. And one way that you can spread the word is by voting on Podcast Alley. There's a Vote Now link in the show notes. If you click that, put in your email address, and you'll be able to vote on Podcast Alley. And very soon I'm going to be adding a link directly into the show notes, or not in the show notes, on the main page, so that you can just click that on the main page and vote every month. Finally, lots of ways you can contact the Fredcast. First this week and foremost this week are the Fredcast forums. You can find those at forums.thefredcast.com. Go there, start joining in the rider community and communicating with your fellow Freds. Keep putting your thumbnails, your thumbtacks into the Frapper map. I've put a link in the show notes to that and also one on the main page of the Fredcast. You can send emails and audio comments to my email address, which is thefredcast@gmail.com. Send a voicemail anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, area code 206-203-FRED. And go ahead and visit the new website that we talked about earlier at www.thefredcast.com. Tonight's PodSafe Cycling music comes to us from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. The song is called Drive Away by Matthew Ebell, and I've put links in the show notes to Matthew's website on the Podshow website as well as to his own personal website. So again, next week, regular time, regular audio, the Fredcast will return. Thanks again for listening. Get out there, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
There was a time when nothing stood in between us. Now there's a curve in the road so sharp it'll make you bleed. We don't talk, we just punch the clock. Can't find each other in the same old gridlock. Maybe a little escape, what we need. Maybe you love and you work like a dog every morning. The city's a pain like the latte stain on your dress. Get in the van before you break down. It don't cost a dime to leave this town. Get on the road, cause we gotta get out of this mess. So let's drive. All day, nothing gonna stand in our way. Yeah, let's drive away. Love was a word and a song, and I took it. Granted, a bump in the road, not really a part of the drive. Come on, Kiwana, it's alright. You made me believe tonight. Cause love that makes it so damn good to be alive. Oh, so let's drive away. Let the sunlight chase us on. Coffee shops and the bars.